The reading today is taken from Exodus 33 and can be found on page 92 in your church Bibles. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people, unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." This is the word of the Lord.
Now, Father, that's our heart this morning as we hear your word read to us. What a prayer. Moses prayed, "Show me your glory." Father, we want to have the faith to dare to pray for that today for ourselves. Lord, show us your glory. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Oh, hello, Simon. Was a big amen from Simon, who's crept in the door. What a privilege it is this morning to speak as part of this values series, Pursuing God Through Prayer. Last week, Simon handled the whole theme of pursuing God in prophecy and reminded us that when we think about pursuing God, we need to remember that actually God is the one who's always pursuing us, and all we're doing is responding to his unfailing love. And when we started this whole series looking at the whole word flourishing, Simon drew us to John 10:10, Jesus saying that he has come to bring life and life to the full. And for me, that was a really good reminder that it's not just about us being forgiven, it's about us all having a fullness of life, accessing daily the power of the Holy Spirit within us to bring ongoing daily transformation, and then enabling us to use the tools of his kingdom to bring in his kingdom here on earth. And one of those tools is prayer. Now, I always find that prayer is a tricky theme to speak on. And I need to say, even though I do it for my full-time job, I am not an expert. In fact, the more I go on doing this, the more I realize I don't know anything about prayer. For some of us here this morning, your heart sings when you find that the sermon is on prayer. And some of you, your heart has sunk to the bottom of your boots and you're thinking, oh no, I can't, too hard, not interested, God never seems to turn up, and that amazing, amazing testimony from Martin. Well, I really don't even need to preach a sermon after that. That was just so amazing to hear that, because that's the hub of what we're about this morning, is hearing that God is there for us. There's so many different ways to pray, types of prayer, but just for this morning, I just want to simply say, isn't prayer just walking and talking with Jesus as our friend, listening, snuggling up to him, pouring out our hearts to him, and just walking the talk day by day? That's the sort of definition I'd like to work with this morning. So when you hear of that whole theme of pursuing God through prayer, I wonder what image that conjures up for you. And we were doing some thinking about this in the whole prayer support team a while ago, last autumn. And Paul from the group did some time with God about this. And he says, pursuing God is not a stroll in the park. It requires concentration and focus with every ounce of our being. We're locked in on what we are chasing. And he had that sense about God saying it's hanging on to what God has given us and taking hold of what he wants to give us with a sense of determination. And this whole theme of pursuing God is actually one that I've been on a journey with myself for about the last 18 months. I went to a conference with George Otis. He's one of the three or four leaders around the world that have been tracking what God is doing in revival and transformation today. And believe it or not, George and his team are working with over 200 communities that are seeing the presence of God poured out in powerful ways. And he's looked at past revivals and spiritual awakenings. He's looked at what God's done now. It's an amazing 3-day course called The Journey to Transformation. You're practically broken apart on every session. The three things that he has found, the common denominators, a hunger for more of God and his presence, a desperation for God to come and be God, and a pursuit of God through prayer. And he waved a sheet of paper, two sides of A4, of the list of distractions that we face, especially in the Western world. And he invited us to go on a journey to work through those. Can I just say, I'm a work in progress. This is 18 months on. I have still not got to making God the top of my list, because there's so many other things that pull me away on my journey. But boy, have I learned a lot, and I'm going to continuing to try and pursue him more and more. But because of my job at World Prayer Centre, based in Birmingham, I link all over the British Isles, and we as a little ministry link globally. We have the privilege of meeting, and I have the privilege of working with people who are single-heartedly pursuing God in the place of prayer from which they see God move. And I was just reminded this morning as I was preparing this about Johannes. Now, Johannes comes from a little town in the south of Germany. And in 2005, God told him and his wife and two kids, or was it three, to move from where they were, to come to this place and to start a house of prayer and worship for the community, and then to follow as God has led. They started in 2005. By 2011, enough people had joined them to make it continuous prayer and praise. And he then, last October, shared with us, the crime rate has declined, street prostitution has been banned, and the city is now abortion-free. There are no doctors willing to carry out abortion in this place. Because I believe people were pursuing God in that place of prayer. And through that, God has changed the spiritual climate. And now, of course, other places in Germany are starting to come and visit. And leaders are asking why. So this morning, I want to invite us all on a journey to explore three things that I've discovered on my little journeyings involved in pursuing God through prayer. And the first thing is encounter. And I've based it on the reading that we've just had read. Because God invites us to encounter him, to meet him, to get to know him, to enjoy his presence. And we had that amazing story of Moses. And in the story of the Israelites, because of the disobedience of the people of God, God had actually withdrawn his presence. And his presence for them was the cloud by day and the fire by night. And Moses, who'd met with God, who'd been up the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights, because of the fact that God had withdrawn, was prompted to make this special place dedicated to meeting with God outside the camp where he went and sought God. It wasn't the tent of meeting as in capital M, where the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle was. This was his personal place of prayer. And we had read to us that when Moses went in to his little wee tent on the outside of the camp, God came close. The cloud appeared again. And we had read to us that amazing phrase that the Lord would speak with Moses face to face. It was his place of intimacy, equipping and direction. And as other times in Exodus, as we move through the story, we see too it becomes a place where Moses is invited to stand in the gap to intercede for those Israelites when yet again they'd grumbled and let God down and God was about to do something to them that Moses could not let them do. And then at the end of this, the last bit of the reading, we had that prayer conversation from verse 12 on, where we heard Moses' deep heartfelt cry. He wants to know more about God and his ways. He wanted to be in favor with God. He was asking for the presence to be with them because he certainly wasn't going out anywhere without God's presence. And then he asked that huge prayer that we ended that reading on, to ask for his glory. Fast forward, and we see Jesus pursuing God in prayer, using stillness, using silence, using solitude and fasting to aid him in his desire to come so close that he only did what he saw his Father doing. And because of Jesus, he's made a way for us. We are not like Moses. We don't have to go to a little tent outside the camp on a designated place. Because of Jesus, we can approach God at any time, any place, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 365 days in a year, for the whole of our lives. I find that quite amazing. And for me, this journey, pursuing God in prayer, is going to involve us making space for God, to be with God. It's going to involve us making some hard choices, because it's only in that place that I've learned of intimacy, of just hanging out with God, that my mind is resourced, my soul is resourced. And I've learned I have to confront the busyness and recognize that my time is filled because of the choices I make. And I need, and I have done, and I still do, and I had to do it this morning, to call out to God for help. I believe the Father is waiting for all of us. And the question is, are we responding? Are we hearing his invitation to come and encounter? This morning, I am someone who is passionate about tennis. And I play tennis. And I happen to know that the other side of the world, there is a very good tennis match going on. But this morning, I needed to be with God. And it was almost as if he was giving me that example to just share with you. It's not I'm any more spiritual than any more of you. And if you were watching the tennis, please do not feel guilty. But that would have been my distraction this morning, because I needed to walk with God so that I could be a channel here this morning, hopefully, for his love and grace. There's an amazing international justice mission ministry founded in the States that works globally on people trafficking, working at every level. And I was really impacted when I discovered that the founder of this ministry many years ago had discovered he was being so distracted as he sat down, because there were so many things pulling on his heart and mind as he started this ministry for justice, that he felt God prompt him to spend 30 minutes every morning in silence. He comes into his office. He doesn't turn on the computer, check the phone, check the messages. He sits and waits with God. And from that encounter, he goes on to do the work. And that is now a requirement of every employee of this ministry and mission throughout the world. Encountering God. The next thing I've discovered is that God invites us to ask and keep on asking and be bold in our praying. Now, Jesus on a number of occasions talked about the need for boldness and persistence in prayer. And in Luke chapter 11, he gives us three examples. He shares with us the prayer we know as the Lord's Prayer, the story of the friend disturbed at midnight. And then he goes on to say these remarkable words in verses 9 to 11. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And the whole usage of and the tense of those words, ask, seek, knock, is the continuous present tense. Ask and go on asking. Seek and go on seeking. Knock and go on knocking. And then at the end of that passage, the wonderful exhortation that our Father is not about to give us a scorpion. He's actually longing to give us more of his Holy Spirit. But why would God want us to ask, we might ask? Doesn't he know everything? He does know everything. But my sense is that his desire is for us to be so in step with him that we pick up his heartbeat dependent on him. And so in our asking, we're lining ourselves up for his purposes. Asking, that sense of adoring him. I always describe this as the first stage in prayer. We come, and as we start to adore him and honor him, we find I've got dirty hands and I need to get myself and cleaned up and ask for his forgiveness. But my mind is full of all the things I've got that I want him to do for me, that I want him to do for those I love. It's a very important starting stage, but I believe it's only the starting stage, and some of us haven't got beyond that. The next stage is the seeking stage, and in that, my sense is we start to feel more of the hunger for more of God in his presence. We give more attention to God's word as we read it, as we use to pray from it, to proclaim it, to declare it. And we start that process of moving from our minds to our hearts in that unity with the Father as we seek, as we ask and as we seek. And then the knocking, the seeking his presence, his glory. Our hearts in tune with his heart, our spirits in tune with his spirits. It's the awe, the wonder, the stillness, but also the boldness. In that place, it's asking for his glory. It's asking for his kingdom. It's asking for his righteousness. Prayer so special. And as we line up with him, whether it's on our own, in our families, as church groups, we are able then to see his kingdom released. I love this story of a whole church learning to ask in prayer, told by someone I used to work with in America. It's a 1,200 member church in California, challenged their members to pray for family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers who were not yet followers of Christ. The church provided prayer guides and regularly encouraged this outreach prayer in their worship services. At the end of one full year of outreach prayer, they had recorded 432 new commitments to Christ. Most of them had been prayed for by name, by church members. A wonderful story of a church on a journey, learning how to ask our Heavenly Father, who is just waiting to pour out his love and to bring those who don't yet know him into the kingdom. We've looked at an encounter. We've looked at boldness in asking. And the last thing I want to look at this morning is when God invites us to partner him in prayer to see breakthrough. There are many examples of breakthrough praying in the early church. And I'm just going to draw my principles from this one story in Acts chapter 4. And it's the story after Peter and John have stretched out their hands and in the name of Jesus offered healing to a man at the beautiful gate. I always think that's an amazing story. I always think how many times I wonder had Jesus walked by the man at the beautiful gate. But he left that man to be healed through Peter and John. Anyway, they've been arrested, of course, because this caused an absolute stir. You can't go around healing people, and especially not in the name of this wacky guy, Jesus. But anyway, they've been threatened that they're going to be arrested again if they use the name of Jesus. And that struck me. How familiar is that today in our own society here in the UK? And of course, for many of our brothers and sisters around the world, being persecuted because they use and stand on the name of Jesus. But I'm very struck, because what did Peter and John do? They didn't form a committee. They didn't send an email or go on a march or go into hiding. They joined together to pray. They raised their voices together. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke through the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of your servant, our father David. They then go on to quote Psalm 2, and they carry on. Indeed, and then at the end of their prayer, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They understood the battle they were in because Jesus had taught them about the priority and the power of pursuing God in prayer. Would all that have happened, I wonder, if they just shrugged their shoulders and got on with their daily lives? I don't think so. Had a lovely story coming out of Scotland. Last October, Stirling was faced with the fact that the first World Paranormal Conference was going to take place in Stirling over 4 days. Not the best thing to happen to the community in which you live. So they put out a call to prayer, and the local Christians, and there was prayer by people all over the world as well as locally organised, an alternative festival of light, bringing many churches and Christian organisations together for 72 hours of non-stop prayer and fasting, praise and prayer meetings, outreach events, nightly walks to give away free hot chocolate and lots of other things. And as they met to start that in a church close to the castle, they write in their testimony, it was filled to capacity, and as the praise and prayer ascended to heaven, the building was filled with the glory of God, with even the darkest parts of it being lit with a heavenly, golden-coloured, supernatural light. Many sensed an angelic presence. The worship could be heard in the surrounding streets at the top of the city and in the graveyards where the paranormal organisers were attempting to take people on ghost tours. Lots of people had their lives transformed. There were many healings. The churches were really encouraged. They had miracles, visions of God. But the best thing was overheard in a cafe where one of the Christian members overheard one of the organisers saying, this has been a complete disaster. And it's because of all these praying Christians, we're never coming back here again. That's the sort of answer to prayer we want to see when we see breakthrough. And now the church in Stirling are saying, why haven't we got together before to pray? It took a crisis to actually get them gathered before God. I want to add a couple of things here, and certainly this is my own journey, is I don't think pursuing God in prayer, although it is an individual thing, we need each other, folks. I'm not where I am now through my last 30 plus years of walking with God if it hadn't been for friends along the way and people to help me and guide me and encourage me. And the other thing I want to emphasize for us in this church, in this amazing place, in this amazing building, we're being cheered on by the saints. The day of prayer last October, we had this church open for 24 hours. And on the Saturday, three different people in their own times, interestingly, in different parts of the church building, were completely overwhelmed with the sense of the presence of those who have gone before. We're being cheered on. We're being cheered on. But I'm also aware that for some of us, this is a very difficult topic. And in our hearts, we'll be wrestling with many questions. It's dull. I feel exhausted. I'm in a dark place. And there's the whole question of unanswered prayer. And I've got lots of questions about that I want to talk to God about. But you know, I just had this sense this morning that as we wait on God, He wants to give us insight into those stuck places and help give us the faith. Because we're not promised quick answers. And I am always struck in this book of the Bible, the many, many people who didn't get answers quickly, but they pursued God, and then He did break through in the end. And of course, our pursuing of God isn't just about ourselves, is it, in our communities and COGS and Whitney? It's about God's kingdom coming and us being ready for the return of Jesus. Just this last week, I was away with others. We had about 21 leaders. We met for 48 hours. This was follow-up to another meeting we'd had in the autumn that we're saying, what's on your heart, Father, for our nation at this critical juncture? In all this uncertainty and shaking, what is the Father asking of us? And it came through loud and clear from those there and what they brought in from others. He's saying, prepare for harvest. Prepare for harvest. It's harvest time. Now, into that, there was actually something that obviously we've got a process. There was a real challenge for, He's looking for us to purify our hearts. He's looking for the troops, that's us, to be prepared, and the proclamation of Jesus. And just in that small gathering, we heard of an amazing story of a church in Manchester that showed the story of Billy Graham recorded a testimony last autumn on the occasion of his birthday. This amazing man, warrior of God. And he shared his testimony and the power of the cross. Simple, unadulterated truth about Jesus. 60 young people at that meeting dived to make Jesus their Lord. And now that church is in the process. There was a church I heard of in a city not too far from here. It's a small church where through a process of listening to God, God suddenly said to them, close your morning service, go out on the streets. 57 people they led to the Lord that morning. And there's a new church stream in our nation called Hillsong that's seen over 1,000 people make decisions for Christ in January alone this year. The green shoots are starting to appear. Our Father is on the move. He is responding to people as we pursue Him in prayer and go out. And this has reinforced a prophetic word that was brought last November to our nation by a woman called Heidi Baker. She and her husband minister at the moment in Mozambique. They've made it a priority of their lives to pursue God and then do whatever He tells them to do. Boy, her story makes me feel I've never even started. But anyway, she came in and released a prophetic word last November. I'm just reading one paragraph this morning. If you need to find out more, obviously I can make this more available. But I just felt I wanted to put this in the context of the big picture this morning. And she said, I feel like there's a revival that God has promised in this nation. It's another wave of revival that He's promised. I feel like it's going to come as we go. It's going to come as we go. It's going to come as we go, says the Lord. This revival of radical love is going to come as we go. It's each one of us just taking hold of the love of God, taking a hold of the heart of God, taking a hold of the mercy of God, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher. As we go, one by one, one by one. There's going to be a lighting up in the hearts of men and women in this city, in this nation. She gave the word in London. This move of God is different than you've ever seen before, says the Lord. It's different. No one is going to point to one evangelist. No one's going to point to one mighty preacher. No one's going to point to one mighty event. But it's going to be this immersion of the Father's love, this immersion of the Holy Spirit, this infilling of God within the hearts of individuals and with the hearts of the body of Christ that we long to see breakthrough. And my sense this morning is he's waiting. And it's simply, are we waiting? Are we willing to just open ourselves afresh to this unconditional love and grace and favor of our Father? Practically, for some of us, there's going to be that little challenge this morning to work out, where is your tent of meeting? I suggest you go home and read Exodus 33. For some of us, it may be that we need to find a fellow traveler on the journey. Share your dreams with, pray with, and travel. I certainly, as I say, couldn't do this on my own. I have friends that I walk with, talk with, agonize over. I think we need each other. We're giving a number of Lent options, as Andy announced at the beginning of the service. It's in the update. It's in the e-news. It might be you want to sign up and receive a weekly email. We're going to make this church open during Lent. And we started off with the idea of 2 hours a week on a different day. Well, we've had so many people volunteer. It's going to be a lot more than that. God's doing something here. Maybe that you come for the first time when we have our corporate prayer and pursuit evening, worshipping and seeking after God at the start of Lent. I invite us to take it away and say, Father, what's your invitation to me? But I sense for a few of us here, we don't do things corporately. We like to go away and reflect. And for you, I would like to send you away with John 7:37. Jesus talking about streams of living water. The way I would invite you to do is go home, find a quiet place, pour yourself a mug of water, and sit and sip the water, read the word of God, and allow God to refresh you and soak you in his new life. Not too difficult, is it? So as we draw to a close, just that sense of the Father's presence here and his invitation to us to draw close. And I just felt led to end with reading Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3 from the Message, and we'll use that as a prompt for us to then respond as to how the Lord might be leading us this morning. I love the Message. It just takes everything into a new gear. So fasten your seatbelts. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Let's just take a moment. What's the Father saying to each one of us this morning? Is it about encounter? Is it about boldness? Is it about learning to pray for breakthrough? Is it insight into unanswered prayer? Maybe we should just open our hands as a sign that we want to say yes to God. Some of us may want to stand, whatever it is. This is just a holy moment for us to just say, Lord, I know you're waiting. And I'm here. Please meet me where I am. Lord, have your way in each one of us, we pray. Amen.